This is Lake Effect from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Joy Powers. Milwaukee County's Poor Farm Cemetery was the final resting place for thousands of Milwaukeeans who died in the late 19th century into the mid-20th century. They were people who often couldn't afford a burial. Some were estranged from friends and family, and some were immigrants who came to Wisconsin looking for a new life.
For the past few decades, archaeologists have been working to learn more about these people through the Milwaukee County Poor Farm Cemetery Project. Over the years, they've learned more about who these people were, how they lived, and how they ultimately died.
Patricia Richards is the director of the project, and she joins us now in studio. Thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
You're welcome. It's great to be here.
So just to start here, what is the Milwaukee County Poor Farm Cemetery?
The cemetery is actually one of four cemeteries on the Milwaukee County grounds in Wauwatosa, and this is a cemetery that was used officially from 1882 through 1974 for the burial of the community poor of Milwaukee County, for the burial of individuals who died as a resident of one of the institutions on the county grounds, for the burial of individuals who were unidentified or unclaimed from the coroner's office. So it was a varied group of people who were interred in this particular set of cemeteries.
So 1974, that's actually pretty late.
Yes, absolutely. It was in 1974, Milwaukee County got out of the business of providing burials for the poor and began contracting with private funeral homes at that point. But yeah, 1974.
So when we're thinking about the earlier burials, mm-hmm. The burials around, you know, the 1880s, who mm-hmm. were a lot of these people?
In the 1880s, it was an interesting group of people, most of them immigrants, of course, reflecting the city of Milwaukee and the county of Milwaukee and that particular population. Many of them, most of them, I would have to say at that point, were middle-aged men without other kinds of resources. And many of them were folks like today who just sort of slipped through the cracks of having family or other kinds of institutions to support them. And that was the population that was buried out there at that point.
So tell me a bit about your work with the Poor Farm Cemetery.
I began working at the cemetery in 1991. In 1991 and 1992, there were a set of excavations related to construction of Milwaukee County Ambulatory Care Center on the county grounds. And at that point, they disturbed a cemetery in the summer, August of 1991. And I was involved in those excavations for 2 years, at which point I then did my dissertation research on that set of excavations and then went on to do other things and then ended up back at UWM. And in 2008, that collection, which had been housed at Marquette, was permanently transferred to the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and I got involved again, and we basically began what was called the Milwaukee County Poor Farm Cemetery Project. And then in 2013, Frederick Hospital was also involved in a expansion project where they requested permission to disturb, and we again excavated on the county grounds at that particular location. So I've been involved for a very long time, since the 90s, in this particular project since 2008 and really culminating in those 2013 excavations.
So, yeah, you've been involved in these excavations. Mm-hmm. What does that process look like?
Okay. In Wisconsin, all human burials are protected by law, and consequently, there is a set of procedures that one follows if one wants to, if there is either an inadvertent discovery of a cemetery or if one wants to disturb a cemetery. And that process involves asking the State Historical Society for permission to disturb and then contracting with an archaeologist who is a qualified burial excavation and an analyst archaeologist, and the Historical Society maintains that list. And then a plan is written to deal with the particular circumstances of a cemetery. And so then the excavation is allowed to begin. And then beyond just the excavation, that state law requires that an analysis and a reporting be done of that as well. So essentially, our excavation involved identifying the areas that were going to be disturbed in 2013. Stripping those areas off prior to the excavation with machinery, large machinery, identifying burial locations and then hand excavation of each individual burial. That excavation involved not just the removal, but the documentation of all of the material goods that were with that individual, the documentation of the position within the coffin, and then the removal, and then ultimately removal back to UWM for analysis and then ultimately reporting.
So you're analyzing not just the burial itself where people were buried, but the people who were there.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one of the things that my students and I are very clear on in our heads and tell the tale often is that when one is granted the privilege of excavating human remains, one has then the need to recognize the humanity of those individuals and to really try to tell an individual story as well. And those kinds of analyses allow the kinds that we participate in allow us then to say, this is an individual whose bones and whose material culture, the things that are found with them, tell us that they were this age, that they may have been interested in these kinds of things, that they suffered from these kinds of diseases, that they may have broken a bone at some point in their lives, that they died as a very young individual or they died as a very old individual. So those are the sorts of things that we look at when we try to understand the burial itself. And then we augment that with a rigorous program of historical documentation. So we do a lot of contemporary primary document searches. We look at newspapers. We look at all of the records that are associated with the institution grounds, which are increasingly found at the Milwaukee County Historical Society, which has been great for us. So we look at those kinds of documents as well, and then anything else that we can find that is associated with those individuals. We really are interested in trying to identify individuals. What has happened with the cemeteries on the county grounds is that the land gets repurposed. And each time the land is repurposed, there is an institutional memory that goes away about how the land was used before. And that happens particularly with these cemetery areas. So by the time we get to them, there's no markers, there's no map. There's a list of individuals who purportedly were buried out there by year, which is complete in some years and not so complete in other years. So we know who's likely to have been buried there, and we know who we have when we've excavated, but we've made attempts to link those two things up. And we've done so since the late 90s. We've done so for over 200, close to 300 individuals, just because we can look at things like the osteological record, things like the material culture record, and then the historical documentation.
Are you able to identify most people?
No. Out of the 2,480 individuals that we have excavated, we only have about 300 that we're pretty confident. But it's an ongoing process. And I have a number of students who are working on that using a number of different kinds of techniques.
Of the 300 that you have identified, mm-hmm. Are there some similarities there? Is there a reason that you were able to identify them versus the other people?
Yeah, I have a student who just finished her PhD, Dr. Drew, and one of the things that she argues is that we can look at what she has called in her dissertation linchpin individuals, that is, individuals who are unique. So I mentioned before that most of the adults are males, overwhelming number of the adults are males. So we focused on looking at females and hoping that their distribution and the things that we could say about females, how old they were when they died, what they may have died as a result of injury or disease, those kinds of things we could match up with the documentation. And we've had a little bit better luck. We have some interesting individuals. So, for example, an individual who died from an injury on the county grounds, a head injury, and his skull was trepanated to relieve the pressure in the skull. And we were able to find that individual and link the name to that individual. There's a most famously, I think, in some ways, is an individual, and again, this was Dr. Drew and myself looking at the records and finding a record for someone who was buried at the county grounds by the name of Gertrude West. And we were just, because we were looking for females, and we're looking through the records, and we found Gertrude, and we're reading through this, and at the time we were looking for a teenage girl, I think, and Enbrick said, oh no, this individual's too old, she's in her 30s, but she weighed 640 pounds, and she was a carnival performer. And I happen to remember there was a particular coffin that was very unique, that was very, very large, that was reinforced. And we managed to put those things together. We managed to find the material culture associated with this individual. She had a wedding ring. She was married to the to another circus performer. She died of a particular – she actually died of septicemia related to a mosquito bite. All these kinds of things allowed us to put all these things together. So we were able to identify Gertrude as well because she was a very different sort of individual. As a result of that, knowing where Gertrude West was buried, we could work out from her coffin, and we've identified a number of other individuals related to her based on the physical spacing. So it's very rewarding, absolutely. It gets a little discouraging after a while.
What do we learn about the past and about how people lived when we look at these excavations, when you look at these excavations?
Mm-hmm. There are a number of things. First of all, one of the most remarkable things, I think, about this particular group is that they are like many other groups. So they may have been marginalized, but they worked hard. They clearly had a need. They had the drive to come here as immigrants. They did the best they could with what they had. They clearly involved themselves in looking for jobs, trying to find jobs, trying to do whatever it was that they needed to do to get by. So we learn a lot about the resiliency, I think, even though people say to me, well, how can you say that these people were buried? Well, that's true of virtually everyone eventually. Isn't it depressing? And it is in some ways, but it's also a reminder of the human spirit, I think, in many ways, and the remarkable way in which humans cope, I think. So we learn a lot about that.
Is there anything new on the horizon for your work?
Yeah, we have a couple very interesting projects right now. I have at least two students now who are interested in looking at a dental calculus. And that may seem very odd, and I kind of get that response a lot of times. But one of the interesting things about dental calculus is that it's a record of not just what someone has eaten throughout their lifetime, but the sorts of things that they have been exposed to. And the two students are interested in the ability to synthesize DNA of various diseases from calculus. And so I've got two students looking at that, one of whom is very interested in TB. The other one is interested just in the human microbiome and looking at diseases in general. So this is one of the things that's going to help us look at a number of diseases like TB, when it was lethal, when it wasn't lethal, what kinds of people seemed to be more susceptible versus those that weren't. So those kinds of things are really exciting. I also have another student who's working on imaging and looking at things like gait and the ability to understand a person's lifestyle from their bones. And she's doing it by 3D imaging the bones and then using computer simulation to look at gait and articulations. And then several other students, particularly one of the things I didn't mention is about a third of them, maybe not quite a third of them, are actually what we refer to as neonates, newborns, or stillborns. And it's a huge, huge number of individuals that are represented in that age group on the county grounds, which, again, is reflective of the time. And one of the individuals who's working on this project right now is looking at health and also looking at how to assess health both prenatally and postnatally, looking at these remains of young individuals. So lots of really pretty exciting stuff going on.
Important work?
We certainly believe that. To do the work we do, we have to think it's very important. Yeah, it may be less. It may not be dinner time conversation, as my children are fond of pointing out, but we feel very strongly about it. Yeah, we're very, very, very close to the work that we do.
All right. Well, Patricia, thank you so much for joining me here in studio and speaking with me about your work.
Well, thank you for having me.
Patricia Richards is the director of the Milwaukee County Poor Farm Cemetery Project. She's also a senior scientist at the Department of Anthropology at UW-Milwaukee.
You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at wuwm.com.